you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show host and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Well, welcome everyone. It is Thursday night. What is it, the 22nd?
23rd.
Jeez, we can't even keep our day straight with all this quarantine business.
They're saying that's the most asked question on a computer is what the hell a day is.
I am Dave. This is Jim. We are one half of Keystone State Paranormal Society, and this is Penetrating the Veil. We want to thank you for tuning in. Tonight's show, we have no guests. We have ourselves. But what we do have is some EVPs to play. A friend of ours who's been on our show before, Mike Simpson, out of the Columbus, Ohio area, does a show called Where's Mike? And on his show this past Saturday, he was at a location and picked up some pretty neat EVPs, both straight EVPs onto a recorder and also voices through using the Phasma box. We downloaded them and cleaned them up a little bit, and we're going to play some of those tonight. And then, once we're done with those, we're going to start a list of 30, and that is, Jim, where did we get this from?
Yeah, there's a travel author and has a real keen interest in the paranormal that his name's Caitlin Morton, and he went through and he has a really interesting article, 30 Most Haunted Places in the USA. Now, a lot of them are, you know, the ones we're all familiar with. No big surprise, Gettysburg National Military Park is one of them.
Right.
And we're going to go through the whole list eventually, but there's a lot of them. I'm going to say well over half of them that are not very familiar. I've actually sent out some messages to some of our friends to see if they've ever known about them or done them. So when we have our one-hour format, we're going to mix that up. We'll play some EVPs, but I thought it might be fun to go over each one-hour format and talk about five or six of them and also give information. Like, for instance, another one, and this is nobody's surprise, Myrtle's Mansion Plantation is one of those 30s. But in reality, it probably isn't the greatest to try to investigate because it's very crowded. They have buses coming up from the Mississippi steamers. And they come up busloads of 40, 50 people at a shot. So you can be there at the plantation, and in the blink of an eye have 150 people all waiting to get in on this little 15-minute tour. So you'll get to see the famous mirror. You'll get to see three rooms total inside. That's the tour, folks. You can walk the grounds, so you might pick up something, but with all them people in the grounds, that's unlikely. Now, the reality is they also do have about four or five rooms upstairs that you can rent.
Right.
There again, you're going to be limited to your little room area and just the little thing downstairs, and if there's different groups, I mean, you might not get much, and it's not cheap. So, you know, if you have the money, you might be able to
rent the whole thing for yourself.
The whole damn thing, but you're laying out some bucks. Now, if you go in the off-season, which is the summer months, and it is hot and humid,
right.
You run a better risk of not having the huge crowds. But so as good as Myrtle's is, I don't know that it's necessarily one of the top of my list to try to investigate there. That said, I did pick up two EVPs when I took the tour, and I picked up the energy of the famous slave. She's there. She's there really strong. I mean, if you can pick up on energies, you get her walking right in. She was really fascinated and basically really conveying the idea. I heard her very clearly that she did not intend to harm the children and stuff. She's still in a terrible way. So it's a great place, but I wouldn't. But I've got some places here we're going to talk about that. I think we're going to have a road trip.
Yeah, we're going to have to.
We're going
to
have a road trip. We're going to have to take like a solid week, you know, maybe even a 9 days or so, and hit some of these, and they're pretty fascinating. So anyhow, hopefully you enjoy it. And so I guess
We'll start with Mike's. He's on now, and I told him that.
Is Mike around?
He's watching right now.
Shoot! Your daughter has my cell phone. I was going to see Mike to call in on the cell phone, and he could just talk about a show a second. You don't have your phone with you, do you?
I do.
Mike, see if Mike wants to call in real quick on his phone, and just talk about 5 minutes or so about the Where's My, because I know he's changed the date for this week too.
Okay.
So see if he.
Mike, if you want to call, call myself, and we'll get you on for, you know, a little 15-minute spot while we play your EVPs, and you can talk about them and the location and the show and everything.
So while he's doing that, I'm going to start with, while we're waiting for Mike to hopefully call in, I'm going to tell you about a really neat website. There's a really cool website I found called Only in Your State. And if you go to that website, you can pull up your particular state, and in that, they'll have all kind of different things to do, the most beautiful things in the state, and you can really get some great pictures of what you're looking at. Onlyinourstate.com, and then you go specifically to your state. So the first one of these 30 that I'm going to mention, and again, if tonight, anybody following us out there, if you have a location that you've gone to in particular that you'd like to mention or just throw out there or something that's really interested you, please do so. We'll keep a running list on those and check those out. So the first one we're talking about is the Lincoln Park Zoo in the city of Chicago, Illinois. It's the big Chicago Zoo. And interesting enough, they do run ghost tours there in October. The park itself sits, and originally it was the city cemetery for Chicago. And they got into the process of going to close it because it run up to Lake Michigan. So the water's there, and it's sort of impending on their burying. So they started moving bodies. Moving the cemetery, so to speak, and they did that until October 8th of 1871. If anybody's familiar with that date, that was the date of the Great Chicago Fire. So the Great Fire hit, and it sort of destroyed all the records, so they got all these bodies they were moving, and they have no idea where they are. Anybody familiar with the dead knows that the dead...
Uninterred bodies... that have been disturbed and not properly reinterred, you're going to stir up something. And it's usually not going to be a nice something.
There's a psychic medium who runs a paranormal group in the Chicago area called Ursula Bielski, and she said it's the most active area she's ever seen. They've been seeing and recording ghosts in that area for 150 years. So I never heard of it before. Is that Mike?
That is Mike.
Oh, Mike, good timing.
Mike Simpson, welcome in, my friend.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dave and Jim.
Hey, Mike. How are you holding up okay?
Good. How are you guys holding up?
Good.
Stir crazy.
Anxious to get out. We're going over for not just all tonight, the next several weeks, these 30 places, and I don't know if some of them you've heard of, but anyhow, they're so intriguing, and the opportunities are so much, and the energies are attested to by a number of paranormal groups. So probably next year, because this year, you know, who knows when we get to getting around, but hopefully by next year, we're going to have a road trip. And if you're interested, you've certainly been invited. Some of these places have never really been done like a topic, you know, a presentation, and they've really got some tremendous history to them, and they've got energies up the wall. So anyhow, so the reason we asked you to call in, and I want to thank you, is Mike runs a show. The date will flip. Now this week you're doing it tomorrow, correct?
Yeah, the reason why is we're pretty much going to have a washout Saturday and Sunday here in Ohio with rain and thunderstorms. So I figured, well, Friday's going to be the better day, so I'll pick Friday. And it'll kind of be, you know, which is the better day. I prefer Saturday, but yeah, this Friday, and we're going to do a special time, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings Time.
Okay, and they can pick that up on the Facebook, correct, under Mike Simpson?
Yeah, Facebook Live page, yes, Mike Simpson.
And so anyhow, Mike was at, what was that, the name of the mall was what last week?
Well, it was called the South Glen Mall, 1977 as when it was built on the south side of Columbus, Ohio. It's been recently vacated up for sale for 2 years now, so it's abandoned.
So on Mike's show, he goes to these sites, no, doesn't tell anybody where he's at, and the idea is between people who see visions or sense things or whatever, and he gives little clues that the object is to figure out where he's at. So he's running this show Saturday, and I really appreciate that, especially at this time. It's sort of neat to, you can get on there, and if you have your equipment or if you have sensors, you can zone into where he is, and it'll work. I mean, it was sort of amazing. And so I'm running a couple pieces of equipment in here, I guess a sort of a remote setup with you, and watching you live on the screen and recording. He runs his Phasma box and asks questions and has his instruments. So I'm recording what he's picking up. And at the time, you don't necessarily hear it all because it's sort of fast and it sort of all flows together.
And you don't, you know, you want to, you're trying to listen to what it says, and by the time it registers, it's saying something else, so you forget what you just heard to try and pick up the next thing.
So, but anyhow, I was able to, I mean, good gosh, I haven't processed half of what all he recorded, so I'm sure I'll get a bunch more, but I have four segments that I've shipped over to him, and I think most of what I heard, you were hearing a lot of that too. Is that correct, Mike?
Yeah, some of my I can hear, as you call it, in real time, but most of them I can't because either they're going too fast or there's so much going around me. So that's the great thing. And once again, I am so grateful to you for doing that, and obviously for you, Dave, and Keystone State Paranormal Society for putting it on your page.
No, you're quite welcome. We appreciate your effort. And in there a lot, and we have one of those has it tonight, was like an old-style EVP, which it wasn't even generated from the Phasma box. It was, he just picked it up. So he is on these tapes we're going to play. He's on basically an old parking lot. Nobody's around him. He's the only one out there at the lot. And he's getting questions from the people who are joining in with him, and he's asking spirit questions. And so this is what we picked up. So Dave's going to play them. We'll play them and let the people hear and see what they get. And we'll go through. I just thought it would be nice if you could, you know, explain the setup like that.
All right. Well, here's the first one. And we're not going to name what we've titled them because we don't want to give anything away as to what we think they say.
And I'll tell the audience, if you'll go to our Keystone State Facebook page, we've got these clips listed. And above the clip in a separate file, I have down what I heard at various segments. So if that you may hear something totally different, that's cool. But that's just what I heard going through. So.
All right, here's the first one.
Do any of the spirits know my name?
See, there's Simpson.
I don't want you to be afraid to any of the spirits. We're here as friends.
Yeah, I definitely heard them say your name, Simpson, several times in there.
Yeah, pretty crazy.
Yeah, that
I think
was...
they said okay when I said, you know, I don't want you to be afraid.
Yeah, they were really responding to you. That's what I got. And the whole thought pattern either varied to questions you were asking or else at talking amongst themselves. Okay, you want to do the next one, Eric?
Yeah, here's the next one.
You know, they're thinking of how that ends, or they have a different train of thought. So hopefully I'm walking in the right direction. Go backwards and to the right.
Okay, now I heard several in there.
Yes.
One, I heard murder.
Huh.
I heard. Let's see if I can find that one.
Now, which one is that that you're playing there right there, Dave?
Cole is back.
Okay, let me find that on here.
Right there. That sounds to me like they're saying murder, like a female. Listen.
Yeah.
That sounds like murder to me.
Now, it's interesting you said that, Dave, because one of my friends, and I apologize, name not coming to me right away, but she felt that somebody had been murdered on that somewhere in that vicinity.
Yeah, I mean, everyone knows that I am not the most adept at, quote-unquote, intuitions with these things, but that's what I pick up. I heard murder. There was another one I thought was pretty clear.
So hopefully I'm walking in the right direction.
Now there, to me, I hear it's either walk on or walk out, right?
Yeah.
And then there's another one, it sounds like they're saying Facebook. Listen.
They're Facebook, yeah.
There's Mark.
Go backwards and to the right.
That one says, I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I definitely heard of Facebook and that, yeah. See, a couple people...
That's weird, because I'm hearing different stuff today than I did when I processed
it.
The interesting thing about that clip is I remember there was a man that I believe Kristen Lee was trying to direct me towards, and I think Jim picked up on this man also that was there, and some of those,
yes.
Clips of the audio came from him.
Yeah, and you were trying to walk toward him and stuff, and okay, what's the next one there, Dave?
Where is Mike?
Okay.
Where I can, and we believe it was a young teenager, possibly.
See, now I hear drove apart and lady.
See, I hear where is Mike?
Listen.
Where I can, and we believe it was a young teenager, possibly.
What you eat is what I heard.
I hear you must mean me, and it sounds like a female.
Oh, okay,
which makes sense because
I don't see what you eat.
Yeah, because Mike just said something about a female, and then a female comes along and says, that must be me. Listen.
Okay.
And we believe it was a young teenager, possibly.
Stay with it.
All right.
Must be me. Yeah.
I'm reaching out to the man. My name is Mike. Could you please come back?
No, that he says my name is Mike. Just get lost, dude.
Yeah.
Is that what you, listen to this, Mike. I hear us say, get lost, dude.
It's Mike. Could you please come back?
Recorders, and you think, God, I got all the stuff I've got to review. But when you think I got to sit here and listen to nothing for a couple hours because I didn't hear anything the whole time we were there. And then you start hearing all this stuff, it makes it Reverence Review go by so quickly.
So now your show this week's going to be at 8 o'clock, and generally it runs an hour, correct?
90 minutes from 8 to 9:30.
Okay.
And
okay.
I don't want to give it too much away, but it's going to be a little bit different type of show. It's not going to be as much as really trying to guess where I'm at, because it'll be easy to guess where I'm at. But I'm going to try a different spin on the show, not only trying to reach whatever spiritual where I'm at, but I'm really going to try to connect with the higher beings, or this, they like to be called, star people. I want to really see if I can try to channel in to get more out of, the higher beings.
Yeah,
no,
I know where you're at. We've hooked into a couple, and they start talking about, above the earth and all that. Exactly.
Quote unquote mysteries of the universe.
Yeah. No, they're fascinating when you can get into them. Absolutely. Well, for everybody.
So, once again.
Yeah, go on.
I just wanted to say thanks a million once again, Jim, for all your hard work, and for you and Dave for putting all this stuff on the your Keystone State Paranormal Society page. Thanks a million. If anybody's interested, 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Savings tomorrow. Where is Mike? I miss and love you guys. I hope I can see you soon.
All right, stay well, my friend, and thanks for what you're doing. It's a nice diversion. It truly is.
Yeah.
I appreciate it, and you guys stay safe and healthy, too. Take care. Have a good rest of the week. Bye-bye.
Right. Thanks for calling in.
Hopefully we'll be able to see you at the Bash this year, man.
Yes, amen. Thanks a lot. Take care, guys.
All right. See you, Mike.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, so that was Mike, and that was to me. That sort of blew me away. I mean, that was pretty cool.
And what I'm going to do, I'm going to get him, I'm going to make sure he lets me know whenever he has these dates and these times for his show. We're going to go ahead and put him and promote him on our page, because that's what we like to do. Mike's a really good guy, and we really get on well with him. We've investigated several times. It's almost like he's a surrogate member, and if we can help promote his show, that would be great. He actually shared something today that I saw that helped me. There's a young woman by the name of Chelsea Gill. She has her own website and everything, and she does readings and all. She's very, very famously well-known investigator and psychic medium, and she does readings. And I've been friends with her on Facebook and everything, and met her through Mike, and actually got to meet her in person for the first time at the Bash last year. And having never met me, knowing about my father with his terminal cancer, she came up and basically offered her services at no charge to do anything that I thought would be appropriate for him to ease his pain and everything with his cancer. So he actually shared something that she was doing today, I commented on it and thanked her for what she does. She's always out there trying to keep everybody positive and keep the faith. And basically she said anytime we want her to be on a show, just send her a message and set it up. So we can go ahead and get a hold of her and set that up for sometime in the near future.
All right. So we're gonna go back. The next place I'm going to bring up, as far as these most haunted places in the U.S.
that most of you have never heard of,
is
anyway.
Our guest last week talked about this, and that was Steve Hummel, and that was the Moon River Brewing Company there in Savannah, Georgia. They do run ghost tours there, so if you're just down visiting, you can go on a ghost tour. Obviously, Steve was able to make arrangements through his group to do a full investigation there, so that is available. It's really a difficult investigation. I would not advise it for any sort of newbie groups. There's too many energies and they're too overpowering. The upper floors, it's a large facility. It's a lot of square feet. The upper floors are haunted, and the top area, they've been trying to do the renovations there. They never get completed because it drives the workmen away. It screws up all the tools and all kind of crap going on. The building itself served as a hospital during the yellow fever outbreak. Hundreds passed there, so we've got a lot of death in that building. And actually, in certain segments of it, the children are isolated. So there's a lot of children spirits, huge number of spirits. They have quite a few where they know their names. It says for over 10 years, staff and patrons have reported shadow people, items moving, doors being locked. The building was built in 1821 and first used as the City Hotel. And it was a notable hotel. One of the famous people who stayed there for 6 months while doing his work was James Audubon, who did the birds, did all the categorizing of birds and all the pictures. His early work was sort of the standard for the for knowledge of birds and the bird watching societies and all that. So because of the great variety of birds in that area, he was there for 6 months. The last guest, as far as a hotel, was 1864, right before General Sherman marched in.
Okay.
Now, Sherman did not destroy Savannah. Georgia was not the hotbed of secession. South Carolina was. So he didn't, some of the, like Columbia and some of the other South Carolina cities, he pretty much leveled them. He did not do that to Savannah. Savannah was a beautiful city then. It is now, and luckily, since he didn't do that, so many of those Civil War structures are still there on the wharf.
And we have two friends that live in Savannah, Georgia. Eric Knapp and Stephanie Skutnik, so.
Yeah. And I actually, I mean, if we got a setup there, I could always use one of my timeshares.
Right. Well, what I'm saying is that they moved down there. So I'm sure that there's plenty of places aside from this that they would have knowledge of
Savannah's,
that they probably have contacts to get us in.
Savannah's so loaded. The basement is probably the most dark energies. That's where the slaves were kept. There's one spirit down there that's particularly upfront noticeable. His name's Toby. Steve mentioned him. Also on the second floor, there was a James Stark who was a gambler. And the town doctor had it out for him. I think he thought he was a cheat.
Okay.
And he actually shot and killed him right there. So we had a
murder.
Doctor shot and killed the gambler. So his spirit started showing up shortly after he was killed. The upper floors, they have a lady in white. People have been pushed downstairs, and construction crews have been chased out by things. And the fourth floor is also loaded with dark energies. There again, many people were kept there with the yellow fever epidemics and died. So it is loaded. And again, it's not really for, I would not say it's for a beginning group.
No, you should probably be a seasoned investigator.
You need something under your belt, but it's certainly, Steve said in a couple categories, it was the most trying, probably the most scary place.
Physically and mentally taxing investigation he has done.
Now, the next place on the list has basically been debunked by our one guest, Michael Acciana.
What place is that?
Devil's Tramping Grounds in North Carolina. Remember, we asked specifically, it's about 50 miles south of Greensboro. It's like a local regional park, and there's all kind of stories and legends that go back over the years to this place.
Okay.
Supposedly nothing can grow within this circle. And Mike said on numerous occasions, he's gone down there with all of his equipment.
Nothing.
And I think he got a one really weak EVP.
Okay.
So he really wasn't too impressed by it, but it was on the list.
Okay.
So we'll point that out. Now, the final two I'm going to, final three I'm going to go over tonight. How are we doing on time?
We've got about a half hour.
Okay. These are all worthy of seeing, and they're all where you can go see.
Okay.
The first is in Lake Charles, Louisiana, which is a gorgeous place. I've been down there. And it's called the Calcansieu Courthouse, C-A-L-C-N-S-I-E-U, Calcansieu Courthouse. Still used.
Okay.
The Travel Channel several years ago actually featured it on a show. You've had paranormal groups in there. And it's listed as open to the public. Of course, it is an active courthouse, so, you know, it depends
You would probably have to make special arrangements to do any kind of night investigation.
The ghost is all centered pretty much about one person, but that person is such a strong entity that even this editor going in the place, they felt all the energies right off the bat.
Huh.
Her name was Toni Jo Henry, and she was a sex worker. This is in the 1940s.
A prostitute.
And her and an accomplice basically murdered a man to steal his car, money, and clothes. And they were caught. She's the only woman in Louisiana to ever be executed by the electric chair. And it was sort of real new then. So what they did, they actually brought in three different generators to back it up, just in case. And anyhow, when the people saw it, the eyewitnesses said the lights dimmed, they brightened, they dimmed again. But what they were all struck with was an overwhelming smell of burnt hair and cheap perfume.
Burnt hair.
And what do you smell all the time in this courthouse? Is burnt hair and cheap perfume. Like everybody
cheap
going
perfume
in
of, say, a prostitute, and burnt hair is somebody who just got tried the electric chair.
Everybody gets it just about going in. They said the workers down there, just the regular court workers, feel the presence and they make the smells everyday life. They said doors locked, they unlock, file cabinets flip over. I mean, they just all kind of goings ons within
and,
the courthouse.
And they never caught anything on security footage. I mean, it's a federal building, so
yeah,
you would think they'd have security cameras.
I don't know. That would be really neat to look into. They said the courtroom's been restored to the previous state that it was at the time of the trial, the original seating jury box, judge's booth, and a witness stand. And this author said that whole thing gave him the total creeps. He said, something is off, and you really pick up on those energies. The guy they murdered was a guy named Arthur Calloway, and she was tried, now I don't know, she was tried three times for the crime. Louisiana is so corrupt. So they had it in for this lady for sure. And they said they had cut her hair back before the electrocution.
Right.
The hauntings began shortly after her execution. And where they electrocuted her was there in the courthouse.
Really? They brought the chair there?
There's a stairs area. And evidently it was in that stairs area they brought the chair. They electrocuted her there instead of in a prison setup. So anyhow, it says one other thing they do mention, don't mention her name around election time. She said it just sort of sets everything off. So anyhow, that's one that you can get into. And I definitely would like to get in there just see if you pick up the energies. The final two I like to go, I'm saving the best for last. This is a cool place, too. Again, if anybody's heard of any of these, let me know.
Oh, and one thing before you go on, I did see, just on a completely side note, the Amityville house is up for sale for $1.2 million if anybody's interested. Just saying.
Chris got to live in New York.
Yeah, there's definitely downfalls. I don't know which would be worse, living with whatever was in there, if it's still there, or just it being nothing there and being stuck in New York.
Well, this other one is totally outside. It's not a building. It's the Poinsett, P-O-I-N-S-E-T-T, Poinsett Bridge in Greenville, South Carolina. It was built in 1820, and they said it quite could be the oldest bridge, at least in the southeast, or maybe the entire east. It's about 130 feet long, and the same architect built it as built the Washington Monument, Robert Mills.
Huh.
The area where this bridge is located is a park. It's 120 acres. It's called Point Bridge Heritage Preserve in Landham, South Carolina. Landham and Greenville, sort of back to back. You can visit it day or night, so evidently this park is open at night.
Really?
Most of the stuff is seen at night. There's a 14-foot Gothic arch right in the middle of the stone bridge.
Huh.
Anyhow, strange paranormal activity in the area around the bridge. The area where the bridge is about 6 acres, so you really don't have to worry about
this. So it's an old stone bridge.
Is
it still in use at all, or is it just not in use, but they left it standing for historic value?
I mean, it's really in good shape, so you can walk over it.
Okay.
In its day, it was built to move people from Columbia to the mountain areas. That's the traffic they use. A lot of activity, they get tons of orbs. People are touched. There's tons of figures. They get these white figures in the night. And there was a group down there recently, like last year. They took over 400 photos. This was at night. And they had over 100 of them with something in the photo, which is pretty damn remarkable. So that was
Houston stomping grounds there.
And it's maintained by the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, and it's open free to the public. So that's the Poinsett Bridge in Landrum, South Carolina.
Well, look, Haley says the Accomack is still available for purchase as well.
Now, the last place is one I've got to get to. If you go to that site, only in our state, you can and go to Alabama, you can pull it up and you can see some of the pictures of what I'm. As I'm watching the pictures, I mean, the energies are talking to me. I swear to God. It's Cahaba, C-A-H-A-W-B-A, Cahaba, Alabama. Sometimes that's also spelled C-A-H-A-B-A. They actually, in the history books, they spell it both ways. It was the first capital of Alabama. It was built on the remains of an earlier ghost town. And essentially, it was the capital of Alabama from 1820 to 1826. It's named after the state's longest river, which runs close to it. It is in Dallas County, Alabama, which is just outside of Selma, and it's preserved now as an archaeological park. As a matter of fact, the old Cahaba Archaeological Park runs it, and they said it's most beautiful in the fall. The vegetation has sort of overtaken it. So several abandoned buildings. One of the few things that's still there is the Barker Slave Quarter. It was part of the Kirkpatrick Mansion, which was built in 1860 but burnt down in the 1930s. So only the slave quarter remains. There's only about 3 or 4 original slave quarters left in the South. So this is one, and it looked in pretty damn good shape. It was large for its time. Also within this compound, this park, is a slave burial ground. Slaves started getting buried in these grounds in 1819, and the last known person to be buried in that cemetery was 1957. There's hundreds of slaves buried there, but very few headstones. There's a Fabro Arthur home that was built in 1841. And it's one of the few last remaining original homes, but it's in poor condition. It don't even look like if you tried walking up the stairs, you're going to go through the stairs, but you can be around on the grounds. There's also a one-room schoolhouse there. In that county, there was once 95 segregated schoolhouses, and they were used to the 1950s. There's ruins of several churches there within the town. And then just as you come into the park, is probably the best remaining structure was the St. Luke's Episcopal Church, built in 1850, located near the park entrance. The group of people, moved out of this church in 1876 and actually moved to Selma. The whole park is open 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and it's free to visit. In October, they open it up at night. So you'd have to check on the schedule, see availabilities.
Right.
It probably isn't something like for a whole team, but they have historians and archaeologists because they're still doing archaeological digs there.
Okay.
So they have those two people with you, and then you actually are on the grounds at night, and it's one of those like 3 hours formats.
Okay.
And then they have one night there in October where it's just historians, and they give the rich history of the area.
And I posted the link to their website for that, only in your state. So anybody can go check it out there.
Cool. There was a governor, William Wyatt Bibb, who originally planned to build Alabama's first state house in town. And what was he going to build it on? And this is in the town, too.
Right on the cemetery.
A 300-year-old Indian burial
ground. Oh, yeah.
So you got that there, too. He died before they really got far along.
Okay.
So it wasn't built, but what were they doing as they were preparing to build it? They were moving the Indians out. So you got these people back in the early 1800s moving out these Indians that had been buried there for centuries. Not a good idea. So you've got slaves interned there. You got Indian burial grounds. Now, let's add another thing to it. During the Civil War, they built a Union prisoner of war camp there. So you had that going down.
Good Lord.
As the war broke out in 1860, Cahaba and Selma, that area of Dallas County, was per capita the fourth richest city in the United States. It had railroad service. As the war processed, they moved the railroads away, and the city never recovered after the Civil War. At the conclusion of the Civil War, basically in 1865, there was a flood engulfed the town from that river, and so basically all the whites there moved out and moved to Selma at that time.
Huh.
So who moved in? All the freed blacks, and it became a hotbed of the post-Civil War era, where the Reconstruction time was a very violent, unlawful time in the South.
Yeah.
So you had all these freed blacks moved into Catawba. They basically set up, built schools, they built churches, they voted, and they were very politically active. They even said they called it the Mecca of the Radical Republican Party. That was Cahaba after the Civil War. Eventually, that, I guess, went bust, and so it was in that probably late 1860s, early 70s, an old Confederate soldier bought a lot of that acreage and had it as a farm until 1930 when the Depression hit, and that was it. And it laid there until the late 80s, so almost 50 years it laid there, until this society picked it up. So South Carolina owns it now. It says here, it was a Samuel Kirkpatrick who had bought that, and the Historic Society began excavations in the late 1980s. They, again, in October, they won a series of Haunted History, and they also have the park open after night, and there is a Facebook page for Old Catawba, Cahaba, C-A-H-A-W-B-A.
Cahaba.
And then on a early, generally the first Saturday of October, they have a special, you go out there at night with the historians, and it's Hear the Dead Speak. So anyhow, they have the mini ghost hunts. So you've got, if you just go back and think, look at all the energies you have there. Take a look
at
the pictures on the site. It's like crazy.
That's what Mike said. That's a spiritual jackpot.
It is.
Between the suffering of prisoners of war during the Civil War, which we know from both sides, South and North, were not treated well at all. The removal of sacred Indian remains. The desecration of African American burial ground.
Active slave quarters.
I mean, good Lord.
And then I didn't even.
Again, now me personally, knowing that, I wouldn't recommend an unexperienced group to go in there because the amount of energy that's going to be there is going to be so intense. And if you don't know how to interpret it the right way, you're automatically going to assume you're surrounded by evil. And it's not, it, you know,
and
because
if anybody knows, throw it out. But I swear to God, I was looking. I couldn't find. They said, you know, they said you don't need any equipment. You just walk the grounds and you feel it. It's there. I would just love just getting there with the Phasma box and some simple tools. I just can't even imagine. So
I would just take the Tascam, the Phasma box, and honestly, at least the first time, I don't think I would even go live there. I think I would just record it on the 4K. Whoa. Just because
and SLS.
Well, of course.
Yeah.
You know, we gotta bring the baby, but it's just out of respect.
Barely make you take that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so when we
I split custody.
when this stuff finally breaks and we can start setting up some plans, I suspect this will be a road trip for next year. We'll set up. And my God, you're right. You're right in the heart of a whole lot of stuff there.
Speaking of trips. Let everybody know, assuming all this breaks in time for us to do so, what Janet said she would have in store for us when we get out there to see her.
I don't remember.
Aside from the Diner Pass, I believe she said she would get us into the old Washoe Hotel.
Yeah, the Washoe, I know. Definitely.
Now, did she say she might even have access to one of your favorites, the old Bliss?
No, she didn't, but... Yeah, I'm not sure how that's set up now.
Okay.
That would be spectacular.
And I, speaking with Haley the other day, on my way home from school on Tuesday, I do believe I may have talked her into going. I think I've talked her into going. So now, we'll probably have to fill out some form of affidavit saying we can't be responsible for what she does when she's on that plane if she's not sedated. But I think I talked her into going.
Did you notice, had anybody ever heard of that Cahaba, Alabama?
I had never heard of it, no.
I can't recall anybody ever being there or that. I was just taken when as I was going through it. It was like, holy crap, I got to go there. I don't have a lot on my bucket list. That's on my bucket list now. Especially the fact that so little has really been done. I can just imagine the spirits, you know, wanting to get so involved.
Right. But like I said, just out of respect for all the different cultures that have been disrespected in there with the desecration of the Black Cemetery, the standing slave quarters, and the removal of sacred Indian remains, I wouldn't go live there, at least not the first or second time.
Union,
I would want to make sure.
Old Union soldiers that died there and
I would not want to.
All the equipment's dead. My whole damn battery pack's dead.
Yeah, I would not want to go live there just out of respect until maybe, I don't know, maybe if we had been there a couple times and kind of earned their trust and maybe it was found out that it was okay from them.
I'm going to dig in and see if there's been a really frontline group that's had a chance to go in there and do anything. I got to check that out. That place was just beckoning me as I was setting it up.
Right.
So anyhow, I guess that's about five or so of them. We've got 30 we'll go through in upcoming weeks. Like I said, some of them are the ones everyone heard, you know. The Stanley Hotel, that's on the list, you know. You expect those. But these are real gems that probably don't get a lot of traffic.
Right.
And I don't think the paranormal teams really didn't. I told Holly maybe eventually we'll get Kane on a list like that.
Right. And since Mike is still watching, I'll just let him know that his Lions picked Jeff Okuda, cornerback, Ohio State, number 3 in the draft.
So
the pick is in from Miami, and San Diego's on the clock.
Did Mike see that Michigan's governor has basically put the state on lockdown till the Lions win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, which means, Mike, you're never leaving your home anymore.
So the people in Michigan are stuck there till hell freezes over. You're never getting out.
Unfortunately.
Oh, man. But I do want to thank Mike for watching tonight and calling in and helping us with those EVPs. I was really taken back how much stuff was going around and how into Mike these spirits were. Of course, they always are.
Right.
And if you have Friday, if you're free for tomorrow evening at 8 to 9:30, tune in. Where's Mike? I'm going to tune in and be doing some more recording. Maybe I'll get some more neat stuff, Mike. That
mm-hmm.
would be great if we got the higher entities.
Yeah. I've been in a funk past couple of days trying to get this project done. I got two big chunks of it out of the way today. So I'm down to two last things I have to do, and both of them I can do on the free version of AutoCAD that I was allowed to download as a student. So.
And I finished all my continued education requirements today, so I can renew my license in June. So I'll be good for another 2 years giving bad medical advice.
Now, did I, completely off the paranormal topic, did I tell you about the program that Haley's trying to get back into?
Yeah, okay.
I completely forgot to ask her the other day on the phone how that was going, how it's been affected. I know there was a deadline, but I'm assuming that deadline may be extended because of all this.
Yeah.
But I forgot to ask her how that was going. She was waiting on a return call from somebody the last time I talked to her about it. So hopefully she'll be able to update us on that soon. Miami took Tua.
That's what they were thinking.
Yeah. So we want to thank everybody for tuning in.
Next week, Lori Johnson.
Next week,
and
we have
doing live.
Lori Johnson is our on the two-hour show on the Live Paranormal page. And we have to finalize and simplify some things as far as how we're going to do it. But she will be doing live readings on the show. So what I think we're going to do is what we're probably going to do is the day of the show, we will make a post on our Facebook page, and then as people comment on it that want a reading from her, we'll go in that order, and we'll just get in as many as we can. If you happen to be the 10th person to comment, you would be the 10th person to get a reading. We'll probably have she's going to call in on the home phone, and we'll probably have the person that wants the reading to call in on one of the cell phones. If you can't make the call, then, you know, obviously we can't, you know, we only have limited time. So once we call your number, you'd have X amount of time to call.
Hopefully it'll be a fun evening and
right.
We'll get Lori back so we can do it again sometime. And I've got some really great guests, some new authors.
I'm looking forward to that Shitan.
Yeah. We've got some really neat people that I don't think a lot of people have heard that have some really great information. We'll have some cryptozoology in a couple weeks with our guests.
Yeah, I'm going to try and get a hold of Dave Spinks and see if we can't get him on to talk about not only the, was it Whispering Willow House, but also his tremendous and detailed research into the Bigfoot.
Yeah, and then Sheetan Noir, she specializes in Bigfoot too. She's a co-publisher with one of the Bigfoot in Michigan magazines. So we'll provide for my. Want everybody to stay well. We miss everybody. We're really fighting a bit to get back out.
We're going stir crazy trying to get back out in the field, but. Hopefully, everything clears up, and at the latest, we'll be back out there at the Daddy Stevens house for the bash.
Oh, and the first two-hour show in May, we've got Cisco Murdoch back, too.
Right.
So she's always a great two-hour.
Willow Sweep, that's it, Mike. Thank you. So everyone stay safe. Depending on what state you're in, stay home. And wash your hands, for God's sake, people.
Take
Have
care.
A good week.
Everyone stay well.